and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." This is in reference to what is known as Mystery Babylon the Great. And we're going to see that as we study through the Word of God in the book of Revelation and other sections of Scripture. And I would encourage you once again, if at all possible, to have your Bible and follow along with me as we read and study the Word of God together. When another study, and the last study we had was about Babylon, and we looked at Isaiah chapter 13, how that there was a real place called Babylon, and that in the book of Isaiah there, it talks about the destruction of Babylon because it was an ungodly place. It was a real place. Nimrod was the founder of Babel, according to Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. It says in Cush, begat Nimrod. Cush was the father of Nimrod, in other words. And Nimrod says he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne, in the land of Shinar. Well, Cush, who was Cush, and who was this person, Nimrod? Well, Cush, the father of Nimrod, was the oldest son of Ham, and he was a grandson of Noah. So Cush was the grandson of Noah, and he was the brother of Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. You notice the Bible, as we study the Word of God, backs up everything that is said. It let you know that what it is saying, what God is saying, is true, and it backs up and gives us the things that we don't even expect. And here it's telling us who Cush was, the father of Nimrod. Well, it goes on to say that Cush was the father of Nimrod, and a king called the first heroic warrior on earth. And Nimrod, that makes Nimrod the great-grandson of Noah. And it's hard to understand sometimes how that someone like Nimrod could turn out the way he did. He was ungodly. And how he could turn out that way, being the grandson of Noah. Well, that tells me that every person is an individual. That every person, as we look at them, each one of us must give an account to God. We're individuals. And we have to stand on our own, with the Lord or without the Lord. And let me tell you one thing, it's better to stand with the Lord than it is to stand without Him. God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. I pray that you've sought Him and you know Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, the Bible teaches us that He first looks for us. And then we will either accept Him or reject Him. Well, the Bible is plain when it speaks about Babel. And remember that Babylon was an ungodly place. We read of Babel, and this is the place of man-made religion. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now, this is all leading up to our study of the two Babylons found in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and chapters 8 and chapter 18. This is leading up to that. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9 says this, "And the whole earth was of one language, and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. And they had brick for a stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Well, right here we're looking at man-made worship. If you'll remember, and go back and read the book of Genesis, in the early chapters there, how that man was given the command of God to go forth and replenish the earth. Well, not only was man to reproduce, man was also to let people know about him, about God. And people, as we read here in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, we're reading about Babylon here, how that this city was a place of man-made worship, how that they did not go forth to spread the word of God. It says that they wanted to be left alone in this place. It says, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In other words, not going out to tell people about God. Well, as I read this, I can see why, because it doesn't appear they knew God personally as a Savior. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 11 goes on to say, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower." Now remember, they built a tower. You're probably familiar with that, the Tower of Babel. Well, God came down, it says, "which the children of men builded," that tower. This is man's religion. Man thinks he's going to work his way to God and work his way to heaven. Well, it doesn't work that way. We must know Jesus Christ as Savior in order to get to heaven. Verse 6 goes on to say, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Remember, God told Adam that he was to replenish the earth. And I remind you once again, it was not only to replenish with human beings, but it was to replenish and let those human beings know about Jesus Christ, about God. You mean Jesus Christ was there? Jesus Christ always has been. The Bible says he was before the foundation of the world, before anything was made that is made. He was present. Well, how could he be present? Because he's God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, the next thing I would like for us to look at is our study of Mystery Babylon the Great. That's the first Babylon that I would like for us to look at. Well, actually, the second Babylon that's found in the book of Revelation. The first one, of course, we've read of in Isaiah and Genesis. But now we look at Mystery Babylon the Great. And in chapter 17, we're given a picture of the religious system of the end time called Mystery Babylon the Great. This is a religious system that is present there in the tribulation. Revelation 17, verses 1 through 5. We've read verse 1. I'm going to read it again in conjunction with all these verses, verse 1 through 5. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written a name, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Well, the great harlot sits on many waters, as we've read there in these verses. Now, this means that she has great influence over the whole known world. This is representation of people. And then we see that the great whore of Revelation 17 was beyond rich, stuffed with the repulsive, nauseating filthiness of fornication. That word fornication comes from the word porneia. Fornication in Revelation 17, verse 4, is spiritual deceitfulness, leading people astray. By the way, the word pornography comes from the Greek word porneia. And in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 17, that word fornication is porneia. Well, from Mystery Babylon comes all the things of darkness. Religion, false religion, pagan worship, rebellion, self-exaltation, creation worship, anything that you can think that is ungodly, it came, and it's coming from Mystery Babylon. And is it any wonder that the word Babylon is used as we go back and we remember how that Babylon, the literal Babylon that is no more, that was completely destroyed by God, it was destroyed because of ungodliness, because of their man worship, because they thought they could get to God some other way than coming by His way. Why should we be concerned, you and I who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? After all, those of us who are saved now during this church age will be gone before the tribulation. Why should we be concerned about Mystery Babylon the Great, the false religion that'll be prevalent during that time? Why should we be concerned today? Well, the Bible tells us why. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and so forth, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 7, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days the perilous times shall come." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reasons of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." People do not want to know the truth today because it hurts. The truth says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They don't want to hear the fact that sin causes death. Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "Follow whose pernicious?" It talks about pernicious. This word pernicious in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the word pernicious there means malicious, the malicious ways. Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 has the meaning, has the answer to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." We've seen the Christian world taking a sharp turn to the left. Churches have turned against God. You say, is that possible? Well, it has happened. It is now prevalent in so-called Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. They've turned against God, worshiping man instead of worshiping God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.